Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
And now we are at the interview part of the show. I watched a documentary just the other day here on the weekend, and so I reached out and got the man behind it. The documentary is called Who Killed Nicole? And the guy that's behind it is Norm Pardo. Thank you for being here, Norm.
Thanks for having me.
So, Norm, first of all, let's talk about you. How did you and OJ get together, and how do you know OJ?
Actually, my attorney introduced us. I just had taken my company public. I owned a .com company. I was actually competing with Google. But my company came out public before them. And he introduced us at an airplane hangar. I just purchased a helicopter company.
Wow.
And that's how we met.
What kind of relationship did you guys have? Like, was it personal or business, or how did that go?
It was a little of both. I'm 100% business. I mean, I know that's me. That's what I do. But you have to get some personal involved with that because it's O.J. Simpson. There's a lot of emotions as well. But I just, it was really, really 90% business for me. It was a little personal because I didn't want to lose, and I had a goal.
Right. What would you say about OJ now? If someone's to say, did you like him? Was he a good person? Like, what's your general overview of OJ?
He's a very likable person, and you have to like him. I mean, it's that way. I mean, if you don't like him, I seen, for example, we were at a restaurant once, and the guy across the way was giving him some, you know, mean looks. So OJ made it a point when he was going to the restroom to stop by, compliment him on what a beautiful wife, et cetera, break the ice with him, and then before you know it, the guy liked him. He senses when you don't like him, and he will actually try to correct the problem.
Wow.
He's a real charismatic guy. He seems to, he seems to really be able to spin stuff.
Yes. Very, very good at it.
So now, what made you decide to do this documentary? Like, what was it that you were hoping for?
Actually, the documentary was never going to come out, but everybody kept saying I was going to do a documentary for 20 years. And so I just wanted to know who killed Nicole. It wasn't about a documentary. I just spent 20 years hunting and looking and digging to get the answers I wanted. It had nothing to do with everybody else. I didn't really, don't mean to be mean, I didn't really care what everybody else wanted. I just wanted to know for my own personal self who killed Nicole. And I knew that the way it was, everybody was positioning it, it was either OJ or OJ. But after meeting with him for a while, I knew there was more to the story than that just OJ killed her. And so I just wanted to know. So a guy came to me, actually it wasn't me who started it, Kyle Saylors out of Nashville, contacted me probably, I don't know, 6 years ago and kept hounding me to let them produce the movie, The Saylor Brothers. And so last year, I think it was, I told him, let's do it. You know, here's everything I've got. And it was boxes and boxes of stuff that we had dug up over 20 years. It wasn't just, you know, I think I blew their minds. They were like, there's terabytes of information here. There's investigators all over the place. They had no idea at the amount of money. You know, I spent $750,000 and the amount of time I spent to find out who killed Nicole. Hmm. You know, I did my investigation was more thorough than they did in L.A.
So why do you think that is? Like, why do you think the prosecution did what they did, and what was the difference?
I think, and I'm not going to throw off on them. I think they got themselves into a situation where they had to go the route they were going. When they first arrested OJ, he was the killer. It was rage, and you know they sold that story to America. And then when they found out that there was other people involved, they couldn't go back and say, well, he was raging, but he hired this guy, and everybody worked together, and we got... So they had to do what they had to do.
And that's
interesting. There was really no way around it for them.
Yeah, and that's interesting. During the show, you kind of allude to that. You're kind of saying that OJ wasn't the jealous type. Maybe explain that.
Well, when we were out there, he would have a girlfriend, and then he would give the girlfriend to other guys, etc. He didn't really care. He wasn't the jealous kind. He was more of a player. So that wasn't, I didn't see OJ get jealous with any of his girlfriends. I mean, the one in Miami, I mean, he caught her with, a whole football field. Poor people. Yeah, still stayed with her. I mean... He used to call me every now and then to show you how jealous he was. He would call me and say, Norm, if she calls you, you just tell her I'm with you because I don't want to deal with her this week.
So what was the relationship with Kardashians? Now, you kind of allude to that being back at the beginning, and that's kind of what set the whole thing in motion, perhaps. What was their relationship?
The relationship was good with Robert at first. Robert gave OJ a lot. I mean, I was amazed when we started digging how much he really did for OJ Simpson. I mean, during his start of his career, you know, with R&R, Radio and Records, etc. I mean, you know, Radio and Records, you probably know them because you're in the radio business.
Yeah.
You know, they were one of the founders. And here OJ owned a share of that, a big chunk. There was only three partners in that when it started. And OJ was one of them that Robert brought in with his brother. So he brought him into a lot of things that helped him. So I was, and then of course it got sour when OJ took everything away from Robert, I believe. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Robert gave OJ everything he had, and OJ took everything Robert had away from him.
And there's a suggestion that he slept with...
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well,
I have to say allegedly anytime you say anything with Kardashian. Kardashians has been my biggest problem. I mean, the entire world is so afraid of them right now. I mean, I got this straight from the top brass at the big networks. Because my movie talks about them in any way, shape, or form... They don't even want to talk about my movie. They're cute, though. They watch the movie, and they go, oh, my God, this is the definitive story. But we can't air it. which makes me, I laugh at him. So I think, what do you mean you can't air it? Well, we can't air it. But Robert's dead. Well, it doesn't matter. You have any idea how much power the Kardashians wield right now?
Yeah.
So they you know, basically I'm banned in America. I'm finding I'm doing better right now. We're talking with a Canadian network who wants to air my movie. So in other countries, I'm good. It's just in America, we're banned because of the Kardashians.
Yeah, you're banned because there's a freedom of speech in America.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, that's the whole thing. You shouldn't be banned in America for wanting to, you know, say what's, you know, especially if it's just showing facts. But, you know, in America, it's still, we're banned, at, you know, we have a different way of banning people here. There's a freedom of speech in other countries, and then there's a freedom of speech in America. The, America gives you a freedom of speech as long as you say what they want you to.
It's all about power.
But as soon as you,
yeah, it's, a, so it's the bottom
line. As
soon
as you veer off, yeah, it's the life, you know. So we've come to grips with that. I mean, I don't really care. I mean, my movie's still moving forward no matter what. There, I actually got a couple calls the other day from people who want to turn it into a theatrical movie. They want to bring it to life.
There you go, live Broadway.
Instead of, yeah. Well, not really Broadway. It's just, you know, how you get actors to play the parts of everybody and they reenact the whole scene and everything. We didn't do that in our movie. We just, no. We just showed facts and documents and, you know, that was all I was after. I'm not an actor.
It's a good way to start. So now you talk about, OJ not really being the, how do I say this? Was he behind it or not?
Therein lies the problem. The hardest thing I have, that's the question. Did he hire Glenn Rogers to go over there, or did Robert Kardashian hire Glenn Rogers? That's the one thing neither one of them will talk about. Now, Glenn Rogers' son called me and claims that it was Robert. So, by the way, Glenn Rogers actually, I guess, called him and wanted to know how I found out what happened that night when he hadn't told anybody. He called him from prison. Glenn Rogers is on death row right now in Florida.
Yeah. So maybe do you want to talk about Glenn Rogers? Like, who was he? How did he get involved in this?
Glenn Rogers is a bona fide serial killer. I mean, he killed a guy named Mark Peters. And then after he killed him in Ohio, I think it was, he went from there to California, and he was already wanted for killing Mark Peters in California, but he took Mark Peters' identification, he took his Social Security number and everything, and was working under the name of Mark Peters. That's why a lot of people couldn't put him at the crime scene, because he was going under the name Mark Peters and not Glenn Rogers. So when they did a couple other documentaries, they said, well, there's no way he could do it because he wasn't in town at the time. But he was. And we know this because we have his W-2 forms for his employer that stated that Mark Peters was working for him. And Mark Peters actually missed work the day right after Nicole died. Said a ceiling in his apartment fell on him and he couldn't come to work. So... But the reason I got all the stuff was I got it from Glenn himself. I've got Mark Peters' Social Security number, birth dates. I've gotten the Social Security number and birth dates to a lot of people that he had killed and are missing right now.
So how did he get involved in killing Nicole and Goldman?
From what I'm understanding, he was hired to just watch Nicole. Just like the other gentleman was hired. There was a guy named William Waz was the first guy that was hired to follow Nicole and find out who was dealing drugs, etc. And then it switched over because that guy got arrested. He was actually arrested in Paula Barbieri's car with a .22 caliber pistol, Nicole's diary with her whereabouts in it, a crack pipe, and something else. And in his testimony, he claimed that O.J., or Robert told him where to pick up Paula Barbieri's car, where to get it, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought that was a great clue, because that put the odds of somebody stealing Paula Barbieri's car and getting into an accident in her car with Nicole's whereabouts in it are 1 billion to 1 without somebody being part of it, either Robert or OJ.
What do you think Robert's motive would be for having the killings happen?
Honestly, I don't think that they knew the killing was going to happen. I don't think any of them knew the killing was going to happen, to be totally honest. I think that at the time, I know Robert was mad because of that whole affair with, you know, Chris and whatnot. But I don't think anybody knew the killing was going to happen. I think the killing happened because it was going to be basically a thug down of Ron Goldman, and they didn't expect it to go the way it went. And that's why people got hurt. OJ was the first one cut. That's why his blood went from the crime scene all the way to his house. He was cut by Ron. Ron was the first person to pull the knife. It wasn't Glenn. Glenn just took the knife away from him and killed it with him.
Well, what were they going to do? So they figured Ron Goldman was selling drugs. Is that it? Or
yes, they thought that Ron Goldman was the drug dealer that was dealing in drugs and pulling Nicole into it, not realizing it was sort of reversed. So they thought, oh, we'll just go over here, thug down Ron, and that'll be the end of it, and Ron would leave it all alone. But Ron, when he got pushed into the bushes, fought back. And that's what happened. I think that's honestly the only way it could have happened. The way OJ was cut, he was cut on the outside of his finger. He wasn't cut on the inside of his finger. And when OJ puts his finger in your face, that's what he did to me thousands of times, that same finger. He points it in your face, and like he's yelling at you, that's what he does. And I think when Ron pulled the knife out, he cut him in that same finger. And OJ ran home like a baby, which is what he would do. Every fight he's ever been in, he runs home. And left Glenn there with Ron. And that's why Glenn got so mad, because he wasn't paid to do that. He was paid to go over there and just be a backup thug. And he got lured into something that he wasn't paid for. You know, Nicole and Ron were killed 2 hours apart from each other. They weren't killed at the same time. So we also proved that in our movie.
So when he killed Goldman and threw him in the bushes, why did it happen with Nicole then? Why didn't he just walk away then?
Well, what happened was OJ had already left him there, and he got mad, he said, and he said, this is from them. And he grabbed up one of the gloves, and he said that N-word wasn't going to leave him holding the bag. And he ran over and threw the thing over his fence. That's how the glove got over OJ's fence. And then he ran over the berm behind the house and was going to leave. And then he thought, okay, he didn't get paid, so he called Nicole and told her that he would have some nose sugar for her. And he said he did that so when she come to the door, she would have money on her. And he went back to get that, figuring he was going to get paid. And then when she came to the door, he just told her, let's do this around the corner. And they went around the corner where Ron was at, and he just got up behind her and slit her throat, took the money, and that was it. And her jewelry. And he said he pawned the jewelry in Vegas or Nevada somewhere.
Hmm. Now, have you talked to OJ since all of this?
No, he's really mad at me right now. He's always wanted to, he's one of those kind of people, I didn't have nothing to do with it, you don't want to know what happened, let it go. That's what he's always told me. You don't want to know what happened, let it go. That's the reason I couldn't let it go. He should have told me I didn't do anything. Instead, he never said that. He said, you don't want to know what happened, let it go. So I knew he knew. And the problem is, he's never been tried on conspiracy. He was only tried on the murder. So he could be retried. And I think that's why he doesn't want anything to come out. And I'm not mad at him. I don't really. I just had to know.
Well, so you haven't heard what he thinks about all this or any of the PR coming out about it?
No, he won't talk about it. That's the way OJ works. If he wants something to go away, he'll just shut up and then he'll go away. He does that with anybody who gets him riled up. He just won't talk about it. And by not talking about it, they don't get his side, then it usually just goes away. But in reality, it doesn't make him look that bad. He wasn't there during either killing. I mean, he left before Ron was killed. I mean, you know, they had already started fighting, but he did leave. and he never went back for Nicole because she was killed an hour and a half after he was already on a plane.
Wow. So you don't,
but he doesn't see it that way.
Yeah. Oh, well, so you don't think that he... So he didn't really initiate it. It just sort of happened, is what you're saying.
Yes. I think it happened because they scared Ron. That's why I got a lot of pushback, because, you know, you don't ever say the victim was anything more than a victim. But, you know, Ron was into a lot of things. All of his files are sealed because they said he was an informant. You can't open up Ron Goldman's files. So he was into a lot of things. Just like Glenn Rogers' files are all sealed, he was an informant.
Who were they informing for? Like, what were they doing?
The most we could figure out is it's probably drug-oriented, because they were both dealing with drug people. Glenn Rogers, I think, in one of his letters stated that's how he used to get away with things. He was an informant. If somebody was to be killed, he would just say, oh, I'll tell you, and he would point at somebody and say he did it, and as an informant, then he would just have to testify against them. He did that, I think, in Chicago with a gentleman who was convicted for murder. And the guy was sliced all up, just like all of Glenn Rogers' other victims.
Sounds
but
like
being an informant, you can do... Very, very bad guy. He doesn't like me much. To say the least. But that's I ain't worried about him.
Yeah. Well, what have you been getting for feedback on the documentary?
People love the documentary. They're just amazed that there was so much hidden from them. You know, you have to watch it. You know, actually, everybody who's ever downloaded that movie watches it 4.5 times, which is incredible. You can't grab it the first time. The first time you'll see a lot of stuff in it, but then the second time you'll say, I didn't notice that. I didn't notice this. I didn't notice this. You know, one guy called me and said, I didn't notice the suicide note wasn't written by OJ until I watched it the second time. Because everybody thought that, you remember the suicide note, that OJ wrote it. But we compared all of the signatures and stuff, and we just showed it. There's no way OJ Simpson wrote that suicide note. Wasn't his handwriting. Wasn't his signature. It was actually written by someone that was more of a child. Robert turned it in.
Who do you think wrote it then?
Well, I can't mention any of the Kardashian children. But Robert Kardashian is the one who turned in the suicide note and said OJ told everybody, you know, him to give it to you. But when you look at the signature, just look at the signature on the bottom of the suicide note. It's not even close to OJ's signature. And it hit me like a rocket. It took me a while. I was going through it, and I didn't pay attention to it. And then I was just looking at it one day, and I'm like, wait, this is not OJ's handwriting. I've got his signature on all my contracts. So I pulled them all up, and every one of them didn't match. And I've got OJ's probably 100 signatures, all different times. None of them even come close. Whoever signed the suicide note actually put a smiley face inside the signature. OJ would never put a smiley face inside of his signature. So whoever it was a child. So,
wow.
Makes you wonder.
Yeah.
I would like to know if any of the Kardashians would know who actually wrote that note. It would be interesting to find that out.
You haven't talked to any of them.
No. They talked about me on their show.
Oh.
They were quite upset about me. They were like, oh, I can't believe that guy is bringing up all this stuff after all these years, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, it's not my fault. I'm not the one who did it. You know, OJ's the one who was bragging about breaking her vagina. It had nothing to do with me. I just had to put it in there. You know?
Well.
I guess I could have left that part out, but if you leave out that part, then you would leave out the part that would make Robert mad. You had to find out, is there a reason why Robert would be mad? Would he have a motive? You know, and so, you know, you have to look for a motive. And we looked for a motive in him. We looked at four different people that we tried to find out, was there a motive in any of them? And Robert's the only one that actually came out with a lot of negatives between that situation that happened and then, which could have been a trigger if you look at the photograph taken of all the Kardashians and O.J. Simpson and Nicole and everything, I think it was April 1st, just before the murders. If you look at that photograph that was taken just, you know, weeks before the murders, you'll see that all the families were together, all the Kardashians, all the Jenners, and all the Simpsons, except for one person. That was Robert Kardashian. He's the only one missing from that photograph.
What was their relationship
like? Which made me wonder.
Yeah, what was their relationship like then, Robert and O.J.? Were they apart after the trial or what?
I think they were apart before the trial. I think they only came together, you know, because they had no choice. I think that was just something that O.J. needed Robert's help when Nicole got into that situation. Remember the 911 call? You know, that 911 call we actually had transcribed because we wanted to know exactly what was on that. They said it was inaudible, but it wasn't. And all during the 911 call, O.J. was just yelling, I want the book, I want all the contacts, I want all your drug dealers and prostitutes that's hanging around with my children. And that's what he was after during the 911 call. It was clear, it's on the tapes. So I think when he got that book, because she told the lady on the 911, what did he do? He said, he just took my book. And it wasn't just a couple of days later that William Wise said that he was given that book and hired to follow Nicole. So I think he got the book. William Wise said that Robert Kardashian gave him the book. So he took it to Robert. Robert gave it to Wise, and that's how it started. OJ just thought he could put a stop to something he couldn't put a stop to. My opinion, allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, these people are, you know, they're, it's a scary world we live in. You know, and you can't really say too much about anybody. I mean, you've got the prosecutor over there. You know, what really gets me and the thing that makes me the most angry out of this whole thing isn't O.J. Simpson or Nicole Brown or anybody. I mean, honestly, that whole situation was just a sad state of affairs, but none of them were, you know, great people. They all had problems. They were all doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. The only innocent victims in this were the people that Glenn Rogers killed after this. That was the innocent people. There was four victims after this happened that he killed, after the prosecutor interviewed him regarding the possibility of him being a murderer, and after O.J.'s attorney interviewed him. O.J.'s attorney interviewed Glenn Rogers and said Glenn Rogers couldn't possibly be the one, blah, blah, blah. The prosecutor interviewed Glenn Rogers and said, no, there's no way he could possibly be the one. But if you think about that, Glenn Rogers was already on the most wanted list, federal most wanted list, FBI most wanted list for killing Mark Peters. So why did the prosecutor interview him and let him go in the first place? And he went on to kill four other people that he's on death row for killing now. That's why he's on death row. It wasn't from people before Nicole, it was after. Those people would still be alive right now if the prosecutor didn't hustle him and get him out of town. They did not want anybody to come up and say, the O.J. didn't do it, because that would throw out their entire thing. They already said O.J., oh no, O.J. raged and killed him. You can't bring Glenn Rogers into this mix. So that's why all of the files we wanted from over there.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
They just vanished. One of them we had our hands on. It was 6 inches thick. And then when they finally released it, it was 6 pages. Mm. It's amazing what you can do, you know, just like the phone records for Nicole. You know, all of the phone records we found were all doctored up. I mean, blatantly doctored up. It wasn't just doctored up like, oh, maybe, maybe not. No, you can see the squares where they actually mark things out and put new numbers in. And one of the biggest things I thought was sort of cute, when they were doing the dates, they said that she called her mom at 6 o'clock on the 22nd, and at 7 o'clock on the 22nd, and 8 o'clock on the 33rd. They messed it up. It didn't even go 22nd anymore. It went to 33rd. There is no 33rd day a month. I mean, just to show they hit the wrong keys is what they did. And then they had the times all wrong. They said they called her at 8 p.m. at night, and the 9 p.m. in the morning, and 8 p.m. at night. They had that side messed up, but you can see where they squared them off, changed all the times and dates to match what they needed to be. Nicole had to have died at 10:30 in order for O.J. to have done it, because he was already going for a plane. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they backed up the phone records to match up with the times that she talked to her mom. But the phone records are so blatantly it's in the movie. It shows they're blatantly documented. We showed the documents. Because trying to explain it is impossible.
Yeah. Was it Marcia Clark and the prosecution, or do you think it's just the police?
Well, the prosecutors had to know that there was all this stuff going on. I mean, you can't hide it from everybody. I don't blame them, but I'm saying that what they did was wrong. That somebody did a lot of bad things, like the planting of the blood, you know, on the gate, and the planting of the blood on the sock. It would have been good enough to get OJ from the crime scene with the blood drops that went from the crime scene to his house that didn't have the preservative in it.
Right.
But when they put the blood on the gate and on the sock, it had preservative in it, which meant that all the blood drops ended up being thrown out. So you by trying to make it look like more than what it was, it made it worse.
So do you think Furman was behind that, or was it?
Well, there was a lot of blood that was missing, so somebody was. I mean, some of the blood in the Bronco. I mean, we were able to knock those shoes out in just minutes. You know, they did that whole trial was based on the Bruno Magli shoes. I mean, that was a big thing, Bruno Magli shoes. If the Bruno Magli shoes, look at them, they're Bruno Magli shoe prints all over the crime scene, right? The only problem with the Bruno Magli shoe prints being all over the crime scene is to start with, here's how we knocked it out, it's simple. The shoe prints inside of the Bronco, they had an FBI shoe specialist and tire print specialist for the prosecutor. This was his testimony. And they asked him, was the shoe prints in the Bronco similar to what would be Bruno Magli? And he was very adamant when he said, no. They weren't even close. So if the shoe print in the Bronco was not Bruno Magli, then they weren't on OJ's feet. It's his logic. It's simple. If the shoe print in the Bronco was Bruno Magli, that's one thing. But no, the FBI specialist said no, they wasn't. They were a tennis shoe. So what, did OJ just switch to a bloody tennis shoe on the way into the Bronco? Which explains a lot. See, OJ left before all the blood was everywhere. That's why his shoe print wasn't what it was supposed to be, because it's just his footprint with his own blood. He was the one dripping blood because he got his finger cut. But he left before the big murders happened. That's why the lady who was walking her dog or whatever, the couple who came by at 10:30 and said there was no dead bodies out there at 10:30. They were right, because Nicole wasn't there yet. Ron was dead, but he was up in the bushes. There was no blood on the sidewalk from somebody being killed in the bushes. The blood on the sidewalk all came from Nicole, and she didn't die until like 11:30, 12 o'clock. That's why everybody else said we never saw bodies until then, because she wasn't there yet. So you just have to take everybody's testimony and then work around it, because there's a little truth in everybody's words. I don't know what took people so long to figure this out, other than they didn't want to know.
Well, I just have to wonder, so when after all this happened and OJ was on the kind of the defensive, and he started doing the things like, you know, he wrote that book, If I Did It, and things like that. Did he not know that Glenn Rogers was behind it?
Well, yeah, he knew who had done it, but he didn't really write that book. They came to him with that book and said, here's the deal, we'll give you so much cash, you say you don't dispute you wrote the book. He called me and said, that's what they told me. They said, don't dispute you wrote the book, and they'll give you cash. So he didn't know what was in the book.
He didn't think that was going to hurt his reputation? Or
he didn't care. He told me, he said, you know, everybody's going to think I'm a murderer, going to think I'm a murderer. Well, you take the money too, Norm. That's what he told me, exactly. And I'm like, well, this is not a good thing. That's sort of the beginning of our separation. Because I said, that's not a good thing to do, because, you know, the whole book thing doesn't make any sense. But anybody who's smart enough to know, you know, and you didn't take a genius to figure this out, O.J. Simpson cannot be sued by anybody for anything. So, if Fox News or, what was the name of the book publishing company?
That one I don't remember.
I can't remember the name of it now, but they would not give him $600,000 and put it in his bank account because the judgment would take it. So they had to give him $600,000 in his suitcase in cash, because there's no way he could put it in a bank account because the Goldmans are attached to it within seconds. And they would not say, here's $600,000 in cash, now go write us a book, because what if OJ didn't write it? They would never get their money back, and they couldn't sue it. So they just took the cash over there with the book and said, you don't dispute you wrote this book, and we'll give you this suitcase. And that's how it went down. So I think it took him a while. He was walking around reading what they had wrote, because he, you know, he had to do the interview, and he had to say, I know what the heck's in the book. But the book was written by the guy who was walking his dog. He was one of the people involved in the first trial. So they just took basically the trial and put it into a book form.
Hmm. So Goldmans, what can you tell us about the Goldmans? You talk about them in the documentary.
Yeah, they get mad at me every now and then.
Well,
we investigated them as well, you know. I mean, you have to investigate everybody. I needed to know, you know, what their affiliations were different people, you know. And the more we investigated them, the more they don't have a really squeaky clean background no more than anybody else does. I mean, Fred Goldman is married to a lady named Patty Glass, and everybody can Google this. Patty Glass, and Google Patty Glass and Marvin Glass. Marvin Glass was Patty Glass's husband. He was also part of a $100 million cocaine smuggling ring in Chicago. They got busted. And he was on trial when Fred Goldman ran away with her to California. So he was already on trial for being a Colombian, like, it's a cartel member of some form. So they have a direct connection to that.
And it's, so, do you think that that Goldman was actually, Ron Goldman was selling drugs, do you think, or anything like that, or do you think that was just kind of over talked about?
I think he was, but I don't think it was from, he wasn't the dealer. He didn't have the money. He didn't have the finances to be the dealer. You had to have somebody with more money and more finances and could get their hand on finances. And if you really watch the movie, I threw a couple hints on there because, I don't want to go too far into it, on who was the real dealer.
Yeah, yeah.
OJ threw the first hint. I didn't, in the 911 call. And that was my first clue that Ron, I don't think, was the dealer. When OJ took Nicole's black book and said, I want all the phone numbers to all of your prostitutes and drug dealers that's hanging around with my children. No. That was sort of my first clue. And it took a while before I figured it out. See, Ron Goldman was on the way to a marina but when he left the restaurant. He wasn't going there just to drop off glasses. He was going to drop off the glasses on the way to the marina. And nobody figured out how he got from the restaurant to Nicole's house. So there was no car, et cetera. You know, they had a bunch of rumors that they found that, but they never found the car. But so the bottom line was, how did you get from there to the marina? The marina was 2.5-hour walk from the restaurant. There's no way Ron Goldman would leave the restaurant and say, I got to walk to the marina and meet these guys there, and it's going to take me 2.5 hours. I'm going to walk over to Nicole, drop off her glasses, and go on over there. Because he wouldn't be there until 1 or 2 in the morning.
Right.
So he had a ride. He had transportation. And if you think about that, simple think about that. You know, here he is. He has transportation from the restaurant to Nicole's house. Now, if that's a good friend of his, and, oh, my God, Ron's being killed, the friend would at least call the police, wouldn't he?
Right.
And if it was a taxi cab, wouldn't he just drive off and say, I ain't getting involved in this? So what happened to his transportation? Whoever was driving the car, where did he go? It took a while for me to figure that one out. The only way that the transportation wouldn't be part of the trial somewhere, saying I saw him go in there with something, is if that person was participating. And I know that Glenn Rogers was already getting close to Nicole and Ron. So I would think that in my gambling bet is Glenn Rogers picked Ron up from the restaurant and took him to Nicole's house. That's why when Ron went through the gate, Glenn Rogers was behind him and OJ was in front of him already there. That's why Ron pushed over into the bushes. There was nowhere else he could go. He couldn't go back and he couldn't go forward. But that's only logical, makes only logical sense of how he got to Nicole's, knowing he was going 2.5 hours to the marina. Nobody walks that far.
So when they were attacking Goldman, what was Nicole doing? Was she at home or was she somewhere else?
She was at home, but the way the house is set up, her bedroom and the kids' bedrooms on the other end, it's like a long, skinny apartment. It's not, so that all of the bedrooms are on the other end of the house, totally opposite of the end where all of the violence took place. The kids' room and everything was on the other side. So she would never have even heard what was going on out there. That's why nobody noticed.
So what was Glenn Rogers' relationship with Nicole?
Well, he claimed that he was dating her in all of the letters that we got. He did have pictures of him and Nicole, but the FBI took those pictures. We can't seem to get them back. I saw them, but I haven't been able to see them since the FBI took them. So there was a picture with him and Nicole a couple nights before the murders that were out at a club with Dodi Fayed and a couple other people. Luckily, though, we did get a witness that was that night with them and came forward. And I've been very lucky that because I was the OJ guy, anybody who's ever knew anything ever about the thing would call me up and say, I've got this, I've got that. And so by the media keeping me as the OJ guy, it really helped me, you know, with clues. So we did get a witness that came forth after the movie was made. We had to put it back in editing, who came forth and said, I've got something I've got to tell you. And they were crying, and they were very upset about the whole thing. And she said, I've been hiding this for 20 years. I don't want to, you know, I'm afraid that they're going to come after me next. And she had a big fear. But we got her on tape, and she told the story, which was really nice, of what happened a couple nights before with Dodi Fayed and Nicole. Nicole was openly talking about picking up drugs. And this lady heard all the conversations.
Yeah, and that confused me a little bit. So what was Dodi Fayed's involvement with OJ or Nicole and all that stuff? Like, what are you suggesting by that? I was kind of not sure on that.
Well, I didn't know where it was going either, to be honest. I just put it in there because I thought it was very interesting that he was with Nicole a couple nights before, and that lady actually thought that he had something to do with the murders. Because of they were manhandling them, and they were supposed to pick Nicole up that night, the night of the murders, supposed to pick her and Nicole up and take them to Saudi Arabia or wherever they're from in their plane. And at that night, she said that Dodi Fayed said that they were going to, Nicole was going to take the plane and go somewhere and pick up stuff. So I don't know if maybe, who knows, maybe Nicole was bringing the models and stuff around for Dodi to, you know, as a treat. I don't know.
Wow.
That part we couldn't really, other than the witness, we couldn't really come up with anything. And she just told me what was going on. She was afraid because Dodi Fayed and his guys thought that those two girls, her and another model, was really for them. And they were trying to take them. She said they were going to kidnap them that night and take them to where, you know, with them. But they put up a fight and got out of there. But I thought that was it. That's what I'm saying. I didn't find many of the people that were involved as being, you know, just innocent bystanders.
Wow. Pretty interesting. What do you want people to walk away with? What are you hoping to get out of the movie?
I want them to walk away with stuff that they never thought of before and to give them an open mind that don't always believe what the media is telling you. Because a lot of this is all made up stuff and it just doesn't make any sense. You know, if they pick up one thing from the shoes in the Bronco, we're not Bruno Magli by the FBI guy, that's a good thing. If they pick up anything that makes them go, huh. But most of the people, when they're done, we've done surveys inside of our, you know, we did one inside of a, what do you call it, a theater. We had 500 people there. And probably 98% of the people held up their hand that they feel that the end, that was the what happened. It ended it for them. They didn't have to think anymore like, oh, because they had so many questions about the glove, you know, and about how did OJ's hand get cut? Well, he wasn't wearing the gloves. They weren't his gloves. They were Glenn's gloves. You know, and if you take all this, if they take anything out of it at all, that's good. But they have to watch it 4.5 times in order to do it because it's so much we tried to throw into 2 hours. I think if I had it to do over again, we would have made it more of a 4 hour because it's so in depth, but we just had to crush it. And we shouldn't have probably done it that way because then people would grab more if it went in a slower pace. It's a fast moving film that when they're in there, they're like, wow, wow, wow. And you had to almost, had one guy who kept pausing it and replaying it back and forth. He said, because he couldn't grab it. But there was so much. We have terabytes of information nobody in the world's ever saw before. And that's what was amazing is there's so much in there that you think you know it all until you see it. And then you're like, wow, this sort of makes sense. And I don't think they can dispute anything. I keep bringing, I want somebody to challenge me, dispute something. It's just, it's hard to do because it was pretty thorough. I mean, I may make a mistake or two inside the movie because, you know, but that's, but I haven't found anybody to dispute most of the facts. The facts are the facts. I can't get rid of them. And I won't get rid of them to sell the movie.
And so,
you know, everybody says,
I was just going to say, what do you think that people would be most surprised about as far as O.J. Simpson and his personality that you saw from being an insider that they wouldn't have seen?
There's many faces of O.J. Simpson. In the biggest face, I think, that I see, and he changes. He's like a chameleon. I've never seen anybody change like that. It depends on who's in the room with him. He can go into a room where it's all black, and he's automatically black, and he's, you know, he talks like them. Then he can go into a room with all whites, and he talks like them. He'll put on his suit and go in there executive style. So he changes, and he changes to match his environment. And I thought that was fascinating. And the fact that people, they want his autograph, not because of a football player thing, it's because, you know, he's like the Godfather. They just want to touch his hand, they want autographs, and it's a whole different world for that. It's not what you would think. I'm just fascinated by, you know, the people. I like to hear their comments and how some of them get so bent out of shape. If you hate OJ, this movie drives you insane. Because they can't get over, they can't break it, and they don't know what to say, so they just, it's crazy. And I get a kick at some of them. I mean, hell, I got threats. I mean, they death threat me. It's comical to look. I mean, I'm not one to just really care. That's the problem. They get more and more mad. One guy's like, well, you don't look very healthy. And I'm like, I'm very healthy. I'm fine. Then he replied right back again. He said, well, you're not going to be very healthy if you keep this going. What? And then I've had two people, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning call me up and say, you know, if they could find me, they'd kill me. So, you know, it's the way it goes. You know, you can't run freight or nothing's going to happen. And then to have these big networks that are so afraid of the Kardashians won't even, they don't even want to talk about my movie. You don't hear me talking on the networks. I'm in every magazine across this planet. One network dared to do it, and that was the Today Show in Australia. And they got chastised for having me on there. So you don't go up against the Kardashians, and you don't go up against the California, you know, the prosecutors there. You know, they have their thing. This is what happened. We're going to let it go this way, and it's going to end this way. And if you change that or show them anything that's other than that, they get mad. They want it buried. They made a lot of money off O.J. being the killer. They make money today off O.J. being the killer. The only reason he's in magazines is because he's a killer. You know, taking away, you know, even O.J. got mad at me when he was in prison because he liked to be the killer. Isn't that ironic that O.J. likes being the killer? If he wasn't the killer, he'd just be a washed-up football player. So yeah. In his mind, it's like, no, I'm famous, I'm a killer, you know, or a bad guy, I'm a thug, I'm like the Godfather. He'll praise me, people want to come and touch me because I'm a... Then, you know, and he knows the real reason. It's just, if he's not the killer, he's nobody. Hmm. And, you know, he likes this, being there where they're watching every tweet he does. I mean, let's look at some of the famous older football players that played during his time. Their tweets. How many followers do they have? We could look at a couple of them, both their followers. So it's just a difference in personalities. OJ has learned to live with this. He doesn't really care. He's like, nah, I don't care. So he doesn't want anybody to rock the boat. Right now, he can come out and say what he wants, and the media will pick it up. The negative with me is, well, I knocked some things out of there, and he didn't like it too much. When he was in prison, you know, everybody made money off of these, you know, tabloids. And O.J. made money off of it. I remember one time he said he sold the story about his girlfriend to one of the, well, I'm not going to say which tabloid. You know, they gave him a couple $1,000. He didn't do it. He had his girlfriend call the tabloids and say they were fighting, blah, blah, blah. And he said he got enough money off that story to buy his lawn furniture. So when he was in prison, I think he had planned on just coming out with a story every week, and that would pay, you know, put money on his books. But while he was in prison, I was doing the stories every week, and he wasn't making any money. So he told his friends, "Oh, Norm's cutting out my income." I'm like, well, you know, my stories, I'm just doing my own thing. You know, I tried to help him. I gave him a brain tumor. Figured that would be okay.
So what's next for Norm now, Norm Pardo? What are you going to do now with all this?
Yeah, I think what's next is the book. I think everybody's hounding me to write a book because the movie is so in-depth that it needs to be in book form so that you can slowly absorb it. So there needs to be a companion book. So I'm out there right now talking to a few people about doing the companion Who Killed Nicole book that goes way more in-depth on the crimes and shows more stuff so people can absorb it better. Because I've got terabytes of stuff that didn't make it to the movie. Yeah, I got 70 hours of OJ footage that never made it in the movie. You know, the movie was really just based on that. It didn't show OJ for what he is. There's like I say, there's two sides of OJ. One thing about OJ, though, is he's not a Mr. Tough Guy like he wants you to think he is. I've had him so mad trying to get him angry at me, so I figured he'd try to beat me up. It didn't work. He'd yell at me, and then I'd yell back, and he'd move on. So I'm like, this is not who you think he is. Just like Vegas. You know, the only reason he was all mean and tough in that room is because he had those guys with him. That's what he does. He'll get a couple guys, go in there, thug somebody out. They usually just start, OJ, that's the way it goes. And he leaves with the guys, and that's the way it is. Just like with Nicole. He brought Glenn. It's no different. It's just the way he is. But if anything breaks out inside the room, OJ's the first one out.
So do you think he was really upset about Nicole's death, or what do you think? So if you're saying that he didn't kill her, like, and he didn't plan it, Glenn Rogers did it, wouldn't he be mad at Glenn Rogers, or would he be upset, or like, what was his feeling toward Glenn Rogers?
He doesn't want anybody to know Glenn Rogers even exists. He doesn't want that name out there. He's afraid that they'll try to retry him. If Glenn Rogers decides to come forward, because he's not been put down yet, then he could go back into court. So I think that's the problem. I think he does. He's upset about Nicole, but I think, honestly, I think he's angry at her for getting him into this situation. If she hadn't have been doing drugs and all this other stuff, he wouldn't have had to do what he had to do, and he would have still been what he was. Instead, she got him into the situation.
Mm. Well, Norm.
So I think he's mad at her.
Yeah, well. So how do people get a hold of you now? Do you have a website and a place that people can go and find you? Or?
Yeah, well, you can always go if you want to watch the movie. Oh, by the way, I put the movie out for free for all your listeners. So if they want to go to whokillednicole.com, they can watch the movie for free, which is good.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
And you have,
and if anybody wants to reach me, that's just you go to normanpardo.com. That's my private thing.
Fantastic. Well, Norman.
But more people are going to go to Who Killed Nicole.
Oh, yeah. I recommend it. And we're going to have it linked to our website as well so people listening can just go to it and get it.
And maybe after a few people has watched it, I'll come back on and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, that sounds good. We'll see what kind of reaction.
Get their input.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, Norman, thank you very much for coming on the show. Our guest has been Norman Pardo, and the documentary he's done is called Who Killed Nicole? Thank you.
All right. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.